This is Novel Marketing, Episode 5.
I'm James L. Rubart.
And I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr.
And this is the show for novelists who hate marketing but still want to become best-selling authors.
So the title of the show is You Are Being Watched by Editors and Agents, How to Make Them Like What They See. That's a mix that sounds kind of like that editors are Big Brother or the NSA.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, it seriously does.
Is it really true, though? Are they watching you all the time? I mean,
they
we wish,
are.
Right?
We wish, yeah, we wish, and they are. And this surprised me when I was first getting into the publishing world. I thought, well, nobody knows who I am. Nobody's watching me. Nobody, you know, in that position of, let's call it power, which they are, has any idea who any of us aspiring writers are. But it's not true. And I'll tell you a couple of stories that illustrate this. I was part of a critique group for about 3 years, and I think only one of us was a published author. Well, the gal who was a published author, she said to us at one point, I've let go of my agent and I want to try to find a new agent. We're like, well, who would be your dream agent? She says, well, Steve Lobby would be my dream agent, but he has no idea who I am and I'm not sure how I should approach him. Should I try to get an introduction or should I go through the official channels of his website? And we all said, just send him an email. You know, just send him an email. Hey, Steve, you probably don't know me. You know, just see what happens. And so she writes to Steve. Steve gets back immediately and says, well, of course I know who you are. I've been watching you for 3 years. I see how committed you are at conferences. I've even, you know, read some of your books. I see how committed you are to the craft, to people. I see how you treat people. Yep, you're signed. And that was it.
That's a dream story, right?
Yeah,
every
author
wants that.
But the point is that she was being watched, that every good editor and every good agent is watching and seeing who is committed, who comes to the conferences, who interacts well. Janet Grant and Wendy Lawton and Rochelle Gardner and Mary Keeley and Rochelle Kent, I don't think I'm leaving anybody else, anyone out, they have an agency called Books and Such that Janet started a number of years ago. And they're very upfront where they will say on their blog, we watch who comments, and we watch if those comments are intelligent. And so when a query comes through from one of those people, we feel like we already know them, and we're going to give a little bit more time to that query. So it is absolutely true that they are watching you. And the other thing, Thomas, and I don't know if we think about this much, but Micah, my son, who's a senior in high school this year, he went into the vice principal the other day, and the vice principal is like, Micah, hey, good to see you. What's going on? Hey, congratulations on this and that. And Micah's like, I've never met you before. How do you know all these things
about me? Big brother is watching you.
Yeah, that's right. And the point is, he didn't say that out loud, but that's what he's thinking. The point is people talk. Editors talk to each other. Publishers talk to each other. Agents talk to each other.
And then what makes this even scarier or more beneficial, depending on what kind of impression you give, is that editors and agents switch agencies and publishing houses all the time.
Yes.
And so a lot of people are like, well, I had a bad experience with this publishing house. I'm going to go with this other one and it's going to be different. And I was working with a client and he didn't like the marketing guy with his first publishing house. And so he went to a different publishing house who then hired the marketing guy from the publishing house that he didn't like. And so he was still stuck with the same guy he was trying to get away from. And so you have to be careful because that reputation that you have pretty quickly will spread to all of the agencies and all of the publishing houses, even the ones you haven't ever interacted with because of the hiring back and forth.
Yeah, you're so right. And I have a friend who until recently was a senior vice president and publisher at a prominent publishing house. And I was asking him about one of their authors. And he said, yeah, she's a good writer, but she's so incredibly difficult to get along with. We didn't renew her contract. Well, that will spread to other publishers. So you're absolutely right, Thomas. Or put another way, the walls have ears. Your reputation is growing one way or another, no matter how under the radar you think you are.
Okay, so you've got my attention. I'm now totally freaked out that these editors and agents are reading my emails, reading my blog comments. What do I do to get a good impression? How can I get on the right first foot with these folks?
First of all, have your perspective correct when you go to a writing conference. And in my experience, that's one of the best ways to connect with editors and agents. Start that reputation is growing is at conferences. You can certainly do it online as well. I'm just saying, if you can afford it, going to conferences, it's the difference between watching the Super Bowl on TV and being at the Super Bowl. Big difference, same event. The perspective you need to have at a writing conference is not contracts. It's contacts.
Yes.
And I learned this from Randy Ingermanson, who is a friend of Thomas's and mine. And if you have not gone to his website, advancedfictionwriting.com, you need to go there. Slight digression there, but fantastic site for people who write fiction. But back to our point here, Thomas, is think contacts, not contracts. Think about that aspiring author that's maybe it's their first conference. Get to know them. Get to know some of the authors that are there. Sure, get to know agents and editors, but the reality is agents and editors are so inundated at conferences that it's going to be hard to get to them a lot of times, whereas authors, best-selling authors, are extremely accessible. Real quick story for me. I went to my first conference in spring of 2006. I ended up on the shuttle bus next to this gal. I knew nobody in publishing. So I just start chatting with her. She's very friendly. We form a friendship. Her husband happens to be at the conference. We have a similar taste in books. So, you know, I'm just like, hey, I made a new friend. Well, it turns out she's a best-selling, you know, 20 books written novelist. And so she says, you know, I really like you and I'm going to give you a couple of my books. And hey, if you want me to help you edit your book, just send it to me.
Wow.
Well, how much is that going to cost? Well, nothing. I just like to help people out. I sent her my manuscript, my first manuscript. She goes, oh my gosh, this is so good. I have to introduce you to my agent. And so you never know what can happen from simply being a real and genuine and kind person to everyone you meet.
And that's the secret, actually, of getting agents. 80% of clients for agents, do you know how they find that agent? Through a recommendation of existing authors that
is it 80%?
80%.
Wow.
And I heard that from one of my agent clients. I'm like, okay, but it turns out that that's most of them. It's that percentage. So you've got the slush pile, 20%, but often less than that because, you know, that 20% comes from a lot of sources,
sure,
meeting at conferences and what have you. But that typically when an agent's looking for new clients, they go to their existing clients and say, hey, who do you like? Who do you recommend? And so those folks that you're tempted to blow off, because you're like, oh, this guy's not important. He doesn't have a special agent or editor badge on his tab.
Right.
Like, no,
right,
that guy, that girl, she's going to be potentially your way in. And you don't want to be thinking anyone is not important. That kind of class thinking is what will kill you at a writer's conference when you're kind of treating a lot of people like riffraff and a few people like gods. That doesn't work.
And back to being watched,
yeah,
they see that being done. And there's stories, Thomas, and we don't want to give names or anything, but there are true stories about conferees who will look at a badge and then look back up and say, oh, you're nobody important, and then move on. That is not going to help you. See that, and here's the interesting thing. And I'm not saying you don't try to get to know editors and agents, but I want to emphasize, because people will do that anyway, I want to emphasize, get to know authors, get to know aspiring writers. I was in a critique group in 2007, and in that room, it was an intense fiction clinic. In that room, none of us were published. It's now 2013. Out of the 8 aspiring novelists that were in that room, 6 of us are now published.
Wow.
And I have relationships with these people, and they introduce me to people, and I introduce them to people. Suddenly, there's this camaraderie, whereas if I just blown them off at the start, you know, I would be missing out, number one, on some great relationships, number two, on some good networking potential.
It's your graduating class. Now,
it is,
so
right,
I'm making friends with the other writers and being polite and respectful to everyone I meet. What else should I do to make that good impression?
You should... And we should talk about this in a full episode, and so I'll hold some of it back. We should do a whole episode on how do you get people to love you. So that's a tease for maybe a couple of episodes down the road. But the thing you do is you respect the time of the editors and agents. You respect the time of the published authors. You respect the time of everybody. And there's this thing going into a conference where you just want to just vomit all your passion and all your story ideas and just go on and on and on and talk and talk and talk. And what that ends up doing is giving a bad impression. You know this, the old show business adage, always leave the audience wanting more.
Yes.
You got to think about that when you're talking to people too and talking about your writing. So that's one of the other things you can do.
I think another tip is to have a professional appearance. So different conferences, different parts of the country have different levels of formality. So you go to a conference in California, say it's Northern California, it's very laid back. Everyone's in jeans. You go to a conference in Chicago or maybe Dallas, Texas, and there are folks in suit and ties or really nice outfits. And you want to be dressed appropriate for the conference that you're at. You don't want to be the only person in sweatpants when everyone else is going around in a really nice outfit.
That's a great, Thomas, that is such a good tip. And one of the things I did before my first conference, and I come out of a world of marketing, you know, that's what I've done for my career. And so I think about this stuff, and maybe everyone doesn't think this way, but I knew what I wanted to look like because I called somebody. I called one of the faculty members. I did my research, found out that one of the faculty members lived like 15 minutes from me. So there was a commonality. I called her up and I said, help me out. How should I dress? Who should I try to talk to? How should I try to set up appointments? I did all this research ahead of time, and you can do that. And that brings us to our final point, I think, of this podcast. And that is, Jim, you're saying you just called somebody out of the blue and they wanted to help you? Yes. And here's the point. Randy Ingermanson was a huge help to me when I was first starting out in publishing. Mary DeMuth was a huge help to me. James Scott Bell. I mean, all these people who were a huge help to me. Deb Rainey and Brandilyn Collins, and I can go on and on and on. Trisha Goyer was a huge, huge help to me. I can't do that same thing for Trisha that she did for me because she's further down the path. But I can do it for them by turning around and helping somebody a few steps behind me. And I love doing that, Thomas. So those people are there to help you.
That's great. And there's a lot of fun in being the mentor as well as being the mentee. But one of the things that mentors look for is a teachable spirit. You know, a lot of authors come to a conference and they're the greatest thing ever. They're like, man, the only thing in between me and being the next Ted Decker or the next, you know, whoever is the famous person in their genre is I just need to get published and I've got the greatest work. And it's that humility is what makes you attractive. It's like,
That's such a good point. And I will tell you this, there are people that have come to me and I've just gone, I'll do anything for you. I'll go to the wall for you. And I've written forward to books, one in particular that isn't even contracted yet. Why? Because I fell in love with this person, this writer. And there's others that have come to me where it's like, okay, wow. hope I never have a chance to talk to you again. And so I think we need to do a podcast on specifically how do you get people to love you? And I've got a secret formula that we can talk about.
All right. Well, we're out of time for this episode. This show has been brought to you by Author Media. If you want to make a good first impression online, one of the best ways to do that is with a professional author website. And at Author Media, which is my company, that is what we do all day, every day. We work with non-tech-savvy authors, helping them have the absolute best website that they can have to get the best results, whether it's going from unpublished to published or whether it's going from published to best-selling author. We're there to help you on this technical, difficult road, making it as easy as possible.
And of course, we would love to hear from you. You might have a story about yourself or someone else, making a good connection, not making a good connection. That's how we learn from each other. So get on novelmarketing.com and share your story.
You've been listening to Novel Marketing, giving you novel ideas on how to sell yourself and your writing online, offline, and everywhere in between.